your finances on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Hello, everybody. Okay, we're back again this week. It is July 28, 2024. And this is Paula T. bringing you the wisdom of the ages in the new age of trading psychology. Now, on our show about 2 weeks ago, we talked about what it means to own your profits. And I'm going to elaborate a little bit more on that in today's show. And by doing that, I'm going to give you a little bit of history about the markets and about my approach to trading as a floor trader. So just kind of bear with me, but I think we'll have some fun here today. So maybe you'll connect a little better to that show in particular. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I did get a number of questions about that show, about owning your profits, as a number of traders said, well, how can I own it if I haven't made it? And how do I own it and keep it and that sort of thing? Now, we're not necessarily going to get into that today, but we will elaborate on that in a future show. Not in the not too distant future, but in the meantime, right now, I just want to give you a little more background pertaining to that concept. So, the easiest way to do this is to talk about where the markets came from, how the markets have developed, how they've grown. Now, I'm writing another book. It's called Behind Wall Street. Hopefully, it'll be out by end of summer. And what I do in that, it's going to be a pretty in-depth book about not just the history of the markets, but how they have developed into the markets they are today. Well, as we're entering into this political climate here in the U.S. with the election coming up in the fall, traders, you know, I'm sure most of you listening to this, you're already noticing that the markets have become unique. So even though I'm giving you some background here today, it still pertains to today's markets. Even though when I was a floor trader, there was no such thing as electronic trading. You certainly couldn't trade from your phone, or they didn't even have cell phones when I first started trading. Well, they had them, but you know, they didn't have the capability of, you know, you trading from them. But so let me just get started and hopefully it'll become clear. And if it doesn't, you know, just send me an email like some of you are already doing. Thank you very much. And I'll explain it in the next show. So, all right. So as a former floor trader myself, I have to say that there really is no way today that traders entering the market could begin to even fathom or comprehend the sustained and expanded intensity of the collective energies of all the traders on every single trading floor in the U.S. and across the world, and in those trading pits each trading day, because it's indescribable. I mean, for those of you who may be, you know, ex-floor traders listening to this still in the markets, you know what I'm talking about. This type of trading, this specific mindset, could be experienced by anyone only if they had purchased a membership, which they called a seat, which allowed you to trade a specific market, unless you purchased a complete membership, which allowed you to trade all the markets. Now, you know, a seat would allow you to trade one market or just a certain number of markets, but a complete membership meant that you could trade any market traded on any exchange. But those were, you know, they were pretty expensive. So along with buying a seat or leasing a seat, you also had to have an account with a brokerage firm associated with that exchange. Now, the seats on the big boards, and by big boards I mean Chicago Mercantile Exchange, the Board of Trade, New York Stock Exchange, Coffee, Sugar, Cocoa Exchange, London Financial Exchange, just to name I'm stammering here today, I'll tell you guys, because, you know, my beloved cat was really sick this week, so I'm a little off here today, so just bear with me, all right? And those of you who are animal lovers, you know what I'm talking about. He's better, but I'm still a little worried about him. So anyway, all right, getting back to the show here. So on those big boards, the seats ranged anywhere from 100 grand and up. Okay, so you had to make quite a financial investment in this, if you could. One of the first independent exchanges, which I've mentioned previously, to offer mini contracts, opened in the 1970s in Chicago, the Mid-America Commodity Exchange, or the Mid-Am as we used to call it, where the contract sizes were one-fifth the size of the big boards. And you could buy a seat, saying maybe from around $1,500 at their lowest point, to only up over about 20 grand at one of their highest peaks. So, and the Mid-Am actually was founded in 1868 and was incorporated as the Chicago Open Board of Trade in 1880 because it literally operated outside on the street in the open air on the corner of Washington and LaSalle Streets in downtown Chicago. I mean, they eventually changed their name to the Mid-Am in November of 72. But my point is, so whether a trader chose to lease or buy a seat on the big boards or the Mid-Am, or to begin trading at any of the exchanges, to trade on the floor, which was the only option back then outside of calling a broker or having your broker just invest your money, it was a powerful financial commitment. If you leased a seat on any type of exchange, meaning commodities or stocks, and that includes financials, your options on what you could trade were limited based on the type of lease, similar to the type of full seat price on the big boards. And there were other considerations. And one of the main considerations, and I sat in on a lot of these meetings, guys, when I ran the floor operations at the Mid-Am, every single trader had to be approved by the board of directors at that exchange. Meaning, if you were a guy who had been married four or five times and you have financial commitments to, you know, four sets of kids, you know, it was going to be highly unlikely that you would get accepted to be able to buy a seat. You might be able to lease one, but they weren't going to have you take up all your finances to buy that seat. There was a lot of personal questions involved. They really went over your fat financials, your background. I mean, I saw guys that had, let's say, 10 years of parking tickets that they hadn't paid be turned down as a trader on the exchange. So there was a human connection to trading that doesn't exist today. And you already had to have X amount of dollars in your trading account, as well as margin call to trade the market or the multiple markets that you wanted to. You had to have an approved account with a brokerage firm with some sort of historical data. And all of this was necessary to purchase or lease a seat on any of the exchanges. All of that before you could put on one trade of your own. Again, we're not talking about if you had a broker investing for you. So this is a far different story from today's trading, where anyone can begin trading all by themselves using any platform, using your cell phone, your notepad, any kind of electronic device with $1,000, just $1,000 minimum, just $1,000 commitment. So you know, that's why a lot of traders today really don't connect to their trading account, because it doesn't take any effort to open one up. So also, you know, being a floor trader was exhilarating. It was seductive because all the traders that were on the floor were in the truest sense of the term, all in. First of all, due to your financial commitment, and most traders, including myself, never thought it would end, or at least in our lifetime. And why? Because it certainly wasn't because we were stuck in some sort of time warp without any forward thinking. We knew electronic trading was coming. You know, most of us were on the boards. We discussed about it. You know, we discussed it, you know, weeks on end. We had meetings about it. You know, what would be allowable, what wouldn't be allowable in the pits, off the, you know, at our desks, all that kind of stuff. So it wasn't like we didn't see the future. but it was because so many of us traders have such a deep financial and emotional commitment to our trading that we wanted that intense drive to live and breathe that thriving connection to how we were growing our money to last as long as we were alive and actively trading. Now, I hope this is making sense to you guys, because not only did we have a financial commitment to just be able to trade on the floor, we had a financial obligation to the exchanges, you know, with fees, updates, you know, did we want to, you know, be on one of the boards? Did we want to be part of the, you know, when the Board of Trade expanded and remodeled and all that kind of stuff. So there was a lot involved here that made us really connected to our trading, really connected. Now, on top of that, when Mark and I began hosting our joint workshops in the early 1990s, up until around the year 2010, a good portion of our attendees were floor traders, of course. They were fund managers, institutional traders, hedge fund managers, bankers, brokers, all, in other words, the whole gamut of traders. And by the end of each workshop, all the attendees in our workshop became a small community consisting of each other. And most of the traders and brokers went home profoundly connected to their specific workshop group, which in many cases lasted for years. Now, this is not something we set out to create, but it kind of evolved because we realized our materials, our experience as traders, and our attitude were the binding glue to traders in each workshop. And we found that we were helping to connect traders to learn self-realization about their trading through goal setting and achievement, to learn how to think for themselves to achieve their goals, and so much more. So we were kind of extending that relationship that we had as, well, at least I had as a floor trader, Mark was a retail breaker, but the relationship that we had on the floor and off the floor and with the brokerage firms and the exchanges itself to keep those traders entering into electronic trading connected to their money. So this is what we're going to get into a little deeper here today, because it's really important to today's trading, unlike never before. So let's kind of just hold on to that thought, and we'll take a break, and I'll clear my mind and check on Solomon over here, make sure he's cool, and I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back. Thank you guys for letting me take that quick break. I'm going to interject here just a little bit because I'm human, okay? And I'm not a, quote, cat lady. I just happen to love cats. I always have my whole life, although I grew up with cats and dogs and guinea pigs and all of the above. But considering Mark and I lived in high rises for 25 years, it really wasn't convenient to have dogs, to have to get on an elevator and tell your dog, well, you got to hold it so we get down to the ground level, okay? So we kind of made the decision just to, you know, become cat owners, cat parents, I should say. So during the pandemic, and I'm just transgressing for a moment, I lost both of my cats. And I had gone over to the pet shelter to donate the rest of their food and all their toys and stuff. And I wasn't ready for another cat. And then, of course, as you all know, these things happen. And I was in the general cat room where all the cats were hanging out and having a good time. And this little black kitty saw me across the room and, you know, made a beeline, and the rest is history. So he rescued me in 2020. And this past Wednesday, he became ill, and it was an emergency situation, but he's going to be okay, but it's a slow recovery. So, but my point being is that's why I sounded a little rattled, because, you know, he was still under the bed when we started the show, and I was a little concerned that he wasn't feeling good again, but he's up now, and so it's okay. So, and the reason I bring this up is because, no, I did not trade this week because there was no way my mind was right. So for all of you animal lovers out there, or children lover, or any lovers of anything, okay, the planet, whatever, if you're distressed about something you love, don't trade, because then you won't lose money. Okay, that's the sermon for today. All right, let's get back to what I was talking about. So what I was talking about earlier was, you know, when Mark and I would have our workshops, and, you know, we created this, in a sense, we created a sense of exchange of ideas and thoughts, and of course, you know, doing live trading and stuff in our workshops. And so that the groups that we put together ended up staying friends with each other. It was really incredible. It was just a wonderful thing. And that continues to this day. So again, we help them learn self-realization, learn how to think for themselves, learn how to connect to their money to grow their equity that they weren't necessarily doing to the degree they needed to, and learn how to relate to trading and the investment world from a global perspective at a much more intense level than they had prior to our workshop and our coaching. So, and again, this type of personal, financial, and professional connection continues to this day in my live workshops and my personal coaching. And you may ask, how? Is it because trading today is primarily a very lonely business? And for me to be able to provide traders some sort of continuity, some sort of connection, some sort of live interaction during my workshops or even my coaching via Zoom or Skype or even just over the phone, and to each other and other traders, that's only going to help traders relate more to the markets, but most importantly, to their equity, okay? So again, now I'm not going to get too much into the level of disconnect most of humanity has inserted into their psychological makeup since the early 2000s, a disconnect created beginning with the internet, then electronic devices, and especially video games, and of course, social media. I'm not going to get into that today, but what I am going to say is the reason I continue to teach traders how to think for themselves, what it means to make a promise to themselves to become a winner, is to give them some semblance of the need to connect to the very markets they want, to give them their financial freedom, but more importantly, to their profit, to their money. Meaning, if you as a trader cannot relate to your chosen market or markets, it's because you don't know its history. You don't know how the market you trade is connected to other markets, and that flows over to you not being able to connect, much less believe in your trading goals. Why? Because you will not be able to create a positive outcome, meaning grow your equity, when you don't know or feel the markets, simply because you don't know how they work from a historical standpoint, but also how they work from their beginnings. And some of those markets were started in the 1600s in the Netherlands to the present day. The Netherlands has the oldest operating stock exchange in the world. I think it was started in 1600-something, 1700-something. Anyway, so if you don't know all that history, and even though, as I said at the beginning of the show, the markets are unique today, from a perspective of knowing the markets, meaning the markets you choose to trade from the inside out, that's only going to be beneficial to you knowing where those markets might be headed, probabilistically. And I'm not talking about backtesting or analyzing X number of years of the charts. You just have to know, where did trading come from, guys? Does anybody listening to this know? And that's a lot of that's, you know, not a lot of it, but there's going to be a whole chapter on that in my new book, Behind Wall Street, because you guys have to understand how this all became developed, how it is now that it's purely something on a computer. Because if you don't understand the historical creation of something, you're not going to be able to grasp where it's headed. Okay? So this is no different than me teaching a trader to know yourself, because if you do not know what you think or why, when you have no mental inventory of your thoughts, then you can't focus on market movement. Why? because you'll be at the mercy of your undisciplined, indiscriminate thoughts coming at you anytime during trading, invading and distracting you from your focus, and more importantly, always when you least expect it during any trading day. And this type of lackadaisical mindset creates bad ingrained habits and, of course, the typical sustainable boom and bust cycles. So what I'm going to attempt to do here at the show, at every show here, is to include pertinent information to make it a bit clearer as to what I'm talking about in the terms of the new age of trading psychology to help you become more knowledgeable about the entire investment industry for your trading, which you're now a part of yourself as a trader. So we're going to start asking yourself some questions here. Before you got into trading, what promises did you make yourself about your trading? What promises did you make to your family before you started trading about your trading? Okay, now you're a trader. What promises did you make to yourself about becoming a trader or being a trader? What promises did you make to your family about being a trader? Okay, that's like, you know, four or five questions right there. And now we're going to get to the big one is, did you make any promises to yourself at all when it comes to your trading? Now, I bet a lot of you are out there going, okay, what the heck is she talking about? What does a promise to myself have to do with trading? Well, it has a lot to do with it. But again, we're going to have to start with the definition of the word promise. Let's go back to Roget's Thesaurus. It has the best compilation of definitions, in my opinion, and all in one place. So if we look up the definition of promise, we see declaration of assurance, binding declaration, creating an expectation of fulfillment, a pledge to do so, to vow or bind or state an oath, a solemn attestation of your truth, a commitment to do or not do something, not to violate your words. So ask yourself, what is your definition of a promise? And write down your answers on your pad of paper. In one of my earlier shows, I gave you the analogy from the Godfather movie. You might remember how I described Michael Corleone's character stating he would never be part of his father's business. He made that a promise to his girlfriend at the time, who became his wife. And yet when his father, the Godfather, is shot and near death, he realizes he already was a part of his father's business. And then he makes a promise to his father initially, but ultimately he was making that promise to himself first to be able to fulfill the promise to keep his father safe, which ultimately led to the promise to himself to run the family business and help it grow into legitimacy. Now, whether or not that ever happened is not the point here, because we will never know what Michael's definition of legitimacy was. For this show here today, each trader has to understand, accept, and believe that without a promise to yourself first, you cannot achieve any goal you set out to do. Why? Because the promise to you equates to a belief in you, and you are the only one who can make that promise to be a successful trader. And you are the only one who can follow through on that promise. So you have to ask yourself, what is a promise to me? Write down your answer. Take a few moments and think about this, guys. I give you these exercises because these are really powerful self-realizations to help you grow mentally and expand your mindset into understanding the dynamics of infinite wealth. So ask yourself, what am I promising myself to realize my goals as a trader? What type of promise do I need to make to me to be that winner I know I am inside? Can I keep that promise? Be honest. Write down your answers on your pad of paper. Take a few moments and think about this. And we'll be right back after the break.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on A Higher Power.
Okay. So we're continuing our discussion on promises. So one of the exercises that I give in my workshops to traders, and they usually have a hard time doing it. I have them make a list of promises that they have made, and it doesn't matter to who, to where, or, you know, where or when or how. I ask them to make a list of promises throughout their life that they have not kept. Now, I don't do this, you know, to be mean or to annoy them or to make them feel bad, but we all have made promises that we haven't kept. Okay, some are meaningless, some are more important than others. It's just life, okay? But the reason that I ask them to make that list is because I want to bring home the point that when you make a promise about your trading, it's unlike any other promise you've made in any other area in your life. First of all, because making a promise about your trading involves money, period. That's it, okay? It also usually involves a spouse where you promise them, okay, give me 12 months. I'm not going to refund the account. I promise. I swear. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this from traders. And then they refund the account numerous times without telling their spouse. And this leads to a lot of difficulties in their relationships. Now, I'm not saying that any of you listening to this here are going to do anything like that. But the point of making the list of promises that you haven't kept is to understand what the point of a promise is. Okay? Like I said, some promises really aren't meaningless. They are meaningless. You know, they may just, oh yeah, I promise to not eat a second chocolate bar, you know. Others are more meaningful. You know, you'll tell your daughter, yes, I'll be at your school play, and well, maybe you don't make it for whatever reason. You know, that's a little more important. But when you make a promise to yourself as a trader that you're going to follow your rules, when you make a promise that you're not going to move your stops, when you make a promise to yourself that you're not going to revenge trade, when you make a promise to yourself that you're only going to put on valid trades, and you don't follow through on them, then how is it do you think that continuing to make a promise in any area, at least with your trading, you're going to be able to follow through? So by making a list of all the promises that you have not kept in your life, and, you know, you'll look at them and you'll know which ones are important, which ones were meaningless, you know, per se, you're going to have to take a look, an honest look at yourself. Because if you have, you know, a majority of promises in your life that you made that you haven't kept, then there is no way that your mental environment is geared or programmed for you to keep any promises you make about your trading. Now think about this, guys. If you have kept a very low percentage of promises in your life to anywhere, it doesn't matter who it was or when or where or how, if you've kept very few promises, your brain is conditioned to that. And so you can't keep promising yourself you're going to do this, 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 and this when it comes to your trading, because your brain's like, yeah, well, you know, you didn't follow through on the other one, so why would I think you're going to follow through on these? This is the way our brains are wired. Our brains become programmed from the moment we're born. And if your brain is programmed not to follow through on a promise, you could promise to yourself till you're blue in the face that you're going to follow your trading rules, and you will be unable to do so. This is what I teach about thinking for yourself. Taking an inventory of your mental environment, of what you think and why. Now, you know, getting back to what a promise is, this is what traders have to understand. A promise is power, okay? I mean, getting back to Michael Corleone's figure in The Godfather, I've mentioned it's one of my favorite movies, right? And he made that promise to his father that he wasn't, you know, going to let anybody kill him. And he followed through on it. And he meant it. All right? So he was all in. And of course, I'm not saying any of you should become gangsters or, you know, bad guys, you know, in terms of making a promise to yourself. All I'm saying is that a promise can be very powerful for you to obtain your trading goals. Why? Because a promise is power through believing in yourself. It's power through your mental strength. It's power knowing you will do what needs to be done at any given moment with your trading, regardless of how many other promises you may have broken. You can make promises that only apply to your trading. You can set that aside. This is what I teach, guys. This is the whole new age of trading psychology. You can have a completely different mindset when it comes to your trading, which is what you need to have, that may not apply anywhere else in your life. But that has to be okay with you. So a promise can be power working toward your goals, despite or even behind mainstream or popular thoughts from your family, your friends, whatever, wherever. A promise is power creating the as yet unknown in the markets, which are your trading goals. Creating the as yet unknown amount of profit, which are your goals, because you don't know how much you're going to make. Promises power working underneath the surface within yourself, mentally, spiritually, physically, connecting to your higher power each and every trading moment, knowing that you are destined for prosperity as a trader by your definition of God. Power. Promise. A promise is power. A promise is power, is the power of knowing yourself. Knowing yourself. That's what trading is, guys. That's all it is knowing what you think, what you believe, and what you know you can do at any given moment. That's it. You're promising yourself you're going to learn that and you're going to use that. Isn't that beautiful? That's it. I know Mark Douglas, you know, used to say that, you know, trading is the ultimate form of creativity. And I'm kind of taking that a little bit further here today, because along with promising yourself, and you're the ones that have to make up the promises. In other words, a promise to yourself as a trader is the ultimate form of creativity, which requires the courage to let go of certainties, meaning certain outcomes in the market, to keep that promise from the start. In other words, again, a promise is the ultimate form of creativity, which requires the courage to let go of certainties in the markets, which you think are certainties in the markets, to keep that promise you made to yourself about your trading from the start. In other words, make a promise to know who you are. There's no downside to this, guys. You know, for those of you who have worked with me, or those of you who are just new to the show, you know, we all have baggage. We all have parts of ourselves we haven't been that great. Okay, we haven't been that nice. You know, I freely admit I've been a complete biatch to people many times. Yeah, they probably deserved it, but, you know, okay, I'm being honest here, okay? In the moment, I thought they deserved it, all right? But the bottom line is, you know, do I feel bad about it? Yes. Have I apologized, at least mentally? Yes, okay? I'm human, all right? So we can't continue to beat ourselves up over being human. It just doesn't work like that. If you want to be a successful trader, and you have to start taking a mental inventory of what you think, what you believe, what you were taught about success, prosperity, accumulation, and you have to understand how that may be limiting you. I know I've said this before. My mother had a great phrase. You know, if I asked for, you know, a new outfit or a new bike or, you know, whatever, a new doll or something like that, a new Barbie doll. And she'd say, well, we'll see. We'll see. And of course, it never manifested because, you know, It was, you know, back in the 60s and the 70s, and, you know, people didn't have credit cards like they do today. And, you know, there was one paycheck in our household, and that was my dad's. So things were different back then. But I grew up with that and thinking, well, we'll see. And so that kind of got ingrained that we'll see. So that's like an ethereal, put it out in the future. But basically what it said was, it'll never happen. So I had to go back and say, all right, well, my mom, that was the only thing she could say with five kids. And, you know, she wasn't trying to not support us and not encourage us to follow our dreams. That's just all she had to say back then. But, you know, that's all she knew. Okay. Nothing wrong with it. Just is what it is. So once I recognized that, then I could let that go. And so when I said, I want to become a trader, I didn't mentally tap back into that phrase, oh, well, we'll see. No, it was like, okay, I want to become a trader. What do I need to do? What are the steps? And I made a list. I made an outline. And then I went to all the guys, all the traders that I knew that I had dated or was dating. And I'd say, okay, I want to be a trader. How do I do this? And then we started working together. And that's how I got to know who I was and what I needed to know about myself to start becoming a trader. And the primary thing was focus. I had to focus on what I thought, what I felt, what I believed. And if that was in my way, was to get rid of it. It's really that simple, guys. It really is. But as human beings, we tend to make it more difficult than it should be. All right? It can be a very simple process. So hold that thought. If you have any questions, you know where to reach me after the show, and I'll be back shortly. Okay, so what we're going to do now in this part of the segment is we're going to go over some sort of affirming information. And it's not necessarily directed toward, I'm not going to say it in trading terms per se, but this is the type of thought processes that you really need to acquire to become successful sustainably as a trader. So to get started, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the mindset that you need to have. And one of the things traders have to really embrace is to never doubt the power of your deeper special powers that you have within you for prosperity or for new mental growth. You gotta take a leap of faith here, guys, you know, and just step out there to think about them. Believe in them. And I'm gonna be quoting from Catherine Ponder's book, The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity, here. She has given me permission to do so. So I'm not being like all the other goofballs on the internet that just use stuff without permission. So I mean, please get a copy of this book or the recording of it if you can. So when you start believing in your special powers for prosperity, then you allow your mind to unfold its secret to you. And when I say secret, I just mean there's a veil that we all have based on how we've been programmed. You know, money doesn't grow on trees. You know, rich men don't go to heaven, or, you know, all that other kind of crud that we got taught. And that's not true. Those are man-made statements. That's not, you know, what God wants for you. So when you start thinking about this stuff, when you start asking yourself, what do I believe about, do I really think I can make it as a trader? Do I really think I can be prosperous? Meaning as that need arises, ask yourself for help, because your divine intelligence will start expressing your God-given powers through you. And as those powers come forth, you will begin to recognize your special powers, your unique powers. And you can learn to accentuate that expression of prosperity by using specific statements. And as you dare to begin developing your powers, you will find them to be your special equipment, your promise to yourself for living wealthily through this new age of trading prosperity. Now, there's a lot of guys out there saying, well, you know, this trader has done this, and, you know, I don't think I can ever do that. You just have to keep reminding yourself, if others have become super traders and are financially independent because they're trading, so can you. You have to ask yourself, why wouldn't you believe that about yourself? What the few have done, many can do, except they don't believe it. You just need to have a little bit of persistence, frequency, and earnestness. And it's all up to you. Stick to it and you will succeed. And again, guys, I'm a living testimony of this. I told you, I started out with nothing. I didn't finish college, you know, till I was in my 40s. My dad died when I was young, okay? I didn't have a major education. When I started out trading, I started out with a $500 account that was, you know, through my boyfriend's account. I didn't even have a seat on the exchange. So, you know, it can be done. I'm not saying you can do that nowadays, but what I mean is I wanted to do it and nothing was going to stop me. I wanted to learn how to be a trader and there was nothing that was going to stop me. And you have to have the same attitude. You want to be a successful trader, then you have to make up your mind that nothing's going to stop you. Stop making excuses. I can't tell you how many traders have come to me. Well, you know, I've got this diagnosis and I've got that diagnosis, you know, some sort of mental disorder or whatever. And I'm like, okay. And these guys are doctors, they're scientists, you know, they're pulling, you know, $1 million, you know, with their paycheck as engineers. So how is it they're not already thinking successfully? So, you know, just, you know, cool it with the excuses. All right. Get to know who you are, learn what you're thinking, what you believe, and then start living it as a trader. And start, you could say this good phrase, every day in every way, I am becoming financially prosperous as a trader. Every day, in every way, I am becoming financially prosperous as a trader. Start to mentally accept the vision of financial independence for yourself as a trader. Start to accept the vision of financial independence for yourself as a trader. You've got nothing to lose. Why wouldn't you? And then be grateful. Just give thanks every day for any trading profits that you take. Just be grateful. Say, hey, this is awesome. This was a good day. One of the best things that Catherine Pronder says is there was a couple that came to her for counseling, and you know, the husband wasn't having really a good time at work. And so the wife went to Catherine Pronder and she said, how can I help him be in a better mood? And she said, every day when he comes home from work, just say to ask him, tell me, my dear, every good thing that happened today. And that's what each one of you as traders needs to do. At the end of every trading day, ask yourself, talk to yourself, write down, tell yourself every good thing that you did as a trader. Not what you didn't do, not what you didn't accomplish, not what trades you didn't take, not what profit you didn't get. Write down and say it out loud, this is what happened today. This is every good thing that happened today to me because I am a prosperous and successful trader. It's going to make a hell of a difference in your approach with your trading the next trading day. I guarantee it. So think about this, guys. And again, you know where I'm at. PaulaTWeb.com, 760-636-4290. Keep your loved ones safe. And if you got to take care of them for whatever reason, don't trade. You won't lose money. Okay? The markets are always open. There's always an opportunity to make money. You will not be missing out on anything. Okay? So until next time, take care.
Thanks for listening. Paula T. Webb, PhD, is author of the publication Success Without Fear, Independent Prosperity. You can reach the office of Paula T. Webb at 760-636-4290. Her website is paulatwebb.com. Also find Paula's publications at globalpublishinghouse.com.